It's the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McGee, Derek Brandeo, Jake Schultz with you for the next 2 hours. We're live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus as we kick it into our Leaf Hour edition of our show, where the Toronto Maple Leafs are now enjoying their first five-game winning streak
of
the season. Makes our job real easy to come out here.
When you play like last night, you're going to win a lot of hockey games. Let me tell you, what a performance.
Undeniable.
Last night,
I'm sorry to be a cynic.
Last night was our, I don't know, our sixth or seventh Leaf midweek game that we've been a part of, along with David Amber and Elliot Friedman. I don't recall ever Sammy coming up to me before today saying, hey, good show last night.
No.
That may have been the first time.
Oh, great.
So, yeah.
Thanks, man.
What was great about it?
I got home from work, and I fully thought it was a 7 o'clock puck drop, so I turned on the TV at 7.
I did,
and
too.
I happened to stumble across you guys doing a wonderful half-an-hour pregame show, which I flicked back and forth with the Bruins and Oilers. But I watched you guys do an awesome breakdown of all the brawls between the Leafs and the Flyers, and I felt like kind of an idiot like to not bring it up. Even when we were talking about the Reeves stuff and like the all the stuff heading in, Leafs Flyers is like one of the great lost rivalries for Leaf fans. Like when I was a kid growing up, they were a top three most hated franchise, not even close.
Well, and like that whole Leafs Flyers, the many packs that we had of that, there wasn't like the hit on Kapanen and the Roenick goal. None of that was. It was all just about the physical stuff alone. And
yeah.
It was cool. And
a lot of history.
The Reeves-Hathaway stuff I thought was cool, too, that Elliot did.
Yeah.
It was my era, right? That's what I grew up with right from the get-go. My first visions of being 7 and 8 years old were the introduction of the Philadelphia Flyers and the Broad Street Bullies. So,
and then you became one. I mean, you were a part of that for years in the American League.
In the American League, I never got a chance to put that uniform on during a regular season game, but that's what I grew up with. So when we were building the show yesterday, and our producer Matt Marstrom had asked me, you know, how I felt about, you know, tonight's game, the first thing that came to mind for me was, hey, got a little bit of animosity against the Philadelphia Flyers and the Toronto Maple Leafs. Why don't we grab a few clips of the last 40 years, 50 years, and have some fun with it, which we did. And the response actually was really good.
People loved it. And that's very funny because at the end of the pack, you know, I was contrasting the eras, and I was like, yeah, what are we going to get tonight? It's Connor Dewar. It's whoever in a fight. And that's all we got was a Connor Dewar fight.
I wouldn't have called for it, but we had traces of it coming out of Sunday night with, like you said, Hathaway and now Ryan Reeves in the lineup. And it was kind of building that way, including our sound bites from Kipper's Clippers yesterday when Craig Berube said, hey, I want a bigger lineup. That's it. I want a bigger, tougher lineup. Well, what does that mean going against the Philadelphia Flyers?
Apparently nothing.
And then it kind of disappointed me.
Yeah.
I have to say that the one with Ty, with Sandy McCarthy and Berube and the four guys chasing him down the ice. That's incredibly comical.
Ty was having to pick one, and then he ended up, I think, going at him a little bit both.
And then I don't know who it was that, because Mike Johnson was on the ice at the time. Young Damon Lankow didn't realize that he was out there. But, like, Ty, for some reason, was, like, behind Caberle, hiding behind Caberle, and then coming in and punching the guy that Caberle was tied up. It just doesn't happen anymore. It just brought me back to my youth. I used to love that stuff. I got so excited.
I think the media yesterday, or just prior to the game, missed an opportunity to go, hey, remember that?
Like, yeah.
Tell us about that. What was going through your mind? You were a big, bad Philadelphia Flyer. You're up against Ty Domi. How badly did you want to kill Ty?
Well, something came
and now his son's on your team.
Let's get him on the show and ask him about that.
Oh, I'll get right on that. Yeah.
Is he dodging us?
I don't know.
We actually had him on when he first got the job and not
did we?
Yeah. He came on.
Yeah, I remember that.
In his first week after signing the contract.
Yeah, after that, I haven't heard a whole lot from him.
It's the plan.
It sure is. All right.
My next Toronto Star article, I'll butter him up for us.
All right. Oh, yeah. Okay? Absolutely. Love it.
And we'll get him on.
No, it just. those stuff. It was great watching that. It just brought me back. And like the guy falling into the penalty box, watch the lawsuit tie. Like one of the all time great.
Harry Neal though wants him to get lifted. He's rooting for it. Just openly rooting for it.
I think Ty and that guy who fell into the penalty box are like decent buddies now. I think.
Oh yeah.
Oh, they made up.
But there was like it was a big thing after that. I remember it being like a really big story for quite some time. But it was great. He's spraying the water bottle. It just. Hockey used to rock, man.
Okay,
so last night.
Yeah, so last night I kind of built it up a little bit for Ryan Reeves and to the point where I just assumed something was going to happen between the two of them. At what point I said didn't have to be in the first 5 minutes, mm-hmm. didn't have to be in the first period, but apparently it didn't have to be in the first period, the second period, or the third period.
You know, and Berube seemed to want it to happen. He got Reeves out there for three shifts in the first 6-7 minutes, and two of them against Hathaway, kind of gave him his opportunities, if nothing else. So, you know, I'm not upset that he didn't fight him, but like, there was no conversation, like, no talking on the bench, no, I'm coming for you. Like, he just kind of played the game and went home, which is really surprising given who he is, what his role is. He hadn't been playing much. You think this is his chance to be like, I'll remind everyone what I'm here for.
Could I ask you this question, Kipper? Because last night on Leafs Talk, we did it right after the game, and, you know, you're heated after watching the game and having it not happen. Like, I think it's pretty bad he didn't fight him in that game. And, you know, you can say that he tried to engage him off a couple face-offs and there was conversation between the two of them. But what I said, and I'll ask you, is I think there comes a point where this guy fights your best defenseman, takes him out. I mean, it's not his fault that he falls in the ice, but the result of the result, you kind of have to leave him no choice. That's what I said, and I don't know if that's right or wrong.
At a certain point throughout the hockey game, I agree with you. The closer it got to the halfway mark, to towards the end of the period, towards the end of the third period, there had to have been something to say. Like, this is where I've got such a ton of respect for the guys that have done it for almost 15 or 20 years. And to me, one of the very, very best that I've seen, and I've played with a lot of tough guys, but Ty Domi was the greatest at leaving messages, either backing him up with his fists or just leaving you scared or worried.
He had a feel for...
Like, even in that video, right?
Yeah.
That we watched with Felix Potvin and Ron Hextall fighting, okay?
And he's on the bench.
He's not just on the bench sitting like 18 other guys. He's at the gate, and he's a presence.
With no jersey like, on.
You know, like
there's... Chirping Hextall, you're leaking.
Chirping like, something, yeah, pointing like, fingers. Yeah. He's a presence that he makes himself part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you want out of your tough guy, is that he's always part of the story. He's always a part of the animosity, even if he's not dropping his gloves. Whereas I watched Ryan Reeves last night act like he's one of 18 guys just going out there and playing the game like nothing's happened Sunday night. And listen, I'm not gonna rip on the guy. The guy's been around the league a long time. He's hanging in there. He's made himself one of the better, tougher guys in this era. He's done a lot of things right over his career to get to that point. But last night, the best way I can describe it for me is I was disappointed that he wasn't a bigger presence in what we were talking about when it came to the follow-up of losing one of your better defensemen.
The one thing that kind of stands out to me, that is well said. But one thing that stands out to me is, like, I think guys who have played Ryan Reeves' role over their career, you know, you come in young and hungry to prove yourself, and I'll fight anyone, and I don't care when, who, whatever. By the time they get towards the end of their career, I don't think they love doing it anymore, and maybe they never did love doing it, and you could speak to that better than I can. But, you know, I look at Ty Domi's fight card, 24 in 1 year, 26, 26, 20, 14, 18 fights. In the last few years, it's, you know, 18, 13, 10, 7, you know, and it's down to one, you know.
It's
like,
not zero.
Right. No, I know that. But the times are different, too. But I do think that these guys like to fight less as they go on.
No question. And you don't have to fight as many times as Ty did. But what you need to do is still have an effect and a presence because of what you bring to the table. And it's just not about, and I tried to tell this last night, it's just not about dropping your gloves. It's about how much anxiety that you can press on your opponent. It's sometimes the fear of what may happen is just as bad and crippling to you as the actual act.
Yeah.
And that's where Ryan Reeves had so much room to play with last night. He could have gone around and said, hey, Hathaway, you don't want to meet me at center ice? That's fine. I'm going to get your best defenseman.
Well,
I'm going to get that guy. And then you go up to Mishkov and say, listen, if that guy doesn't fight me, I'm coming after you. And then you know what Mishkov says? Can you go deal with him, please? get him off my back.
Well, Scott Laughton dealt with him.
At the end of the day, it didn't matter because Mishkov and the rest of them didn't really kind of they're not that type of team, and they're not expected to win, and they're a weak opponent last night, as we found out, because the Leafs certainly didn't play their A game, and they still find a way to get their game breakers in and win a hockey game, but there'll be times when you're playing a tougher opponent, maybe meaningful games either in March or the playoffs, like a Florida Panthers or Vegas, Washington, and you're going to have to step up a lot more than we saw last night.
Yeah. The one thing is, you know, I'll note here is on the big picture of what this means for the Leafs season, it's probably just that Ryan Reeves is not going to be in their lineup. Like,
if
you don't do the thing you do,
yeah,
then we'll just put Lorenz in with a zero pick.
Lorenz
was awesome last night.
Nick Robertson. If Ryan was going to be that quiet and you weren't going to be a presence, put Nick Robertson back in.
Sure. And it's not like I think Ryan Reeves is a bad player. He's fine. But like you're right. Like Robertson has at least this other element, and so that maybe changes some of their decision making.
I thought that's just the part that kind of frustrated me, because we've talked about their fourth line that they've put together here with Dewar, who you know had a good night last night, got the gloves off. Dewar, Kampf, and Lorenz has been a really effective fourth line. Bobby McMahon, Domi, Robertson has its warts. It's been a really good third line, though, but it's not great defensively. But whatever. There have been a decent third line for the Leafs. Mm-hmm. You totally change the entire lineup to shoehorn a guy in there for a pretty obvious reason.
Yeah.
And when that doesn't happen, he's minus one. He plays 6 minutes. It looks bad on everybody.
I felt bad for him that the one went off a stick and went in, because he's kind of in the right spot, in my opinion, there.
Anyway.
So we discussed the fight between Dewar and Farabee. In the first intermission, I think Kathy, one of our producers, said that maybe Joe went on local radio or TV to identify that he asked Connor.
I have the clip.
The fight.
Oh, do you have the clip?
I don't have it on the lineup, but okay. I got Derek to record it. Can we play that clip there, Derek? This is fair.
Eskew, Connor Dewar, when were some magic words exchanged? What led to you guys dropping the gloves?
Just was a little quiet in the building, so I figured I'd ask him. Thankfully gave me one. He's a really good guy, so I appreciate him giving me one there. I thought it was a pretty good fight.
It makes me laugh, guys. I got to be honest with you. It just makes me laugh. And it's okay.
Bad laugh, good laugh.
Well, I'm an old man laugh.
Okay.
How about that one?
So like...
Well, but there was respect among your fighting brethren, even when you fought them when you played.
I think, yeah, there was. And like, I'm not saying that...
He broke K-Fabi.
I'm not saying that never happened, where you would thank a guy for taking a fight with you. But it wouldn't be seconds after.
Maybe after a beer at the golf course this summer.
Wouldn't be in front of your teammates, your coach, your general manager, your owner, and 18,000 people.
Kids these days.
That fight then. Right? If everyone's still animosity, no, what's the point?
They look like there's some animosity when they were going.
Well, it's a
both
good,
the, both of them were.
Fight, but what purpose does it serve then if it's like, oh, there's no tension here, it's just for show?
Pump me up.
Yeah, but it's entertainment value. It's not serving a help you win a hockey game purpose.
And the Leafs did not respond to it well.
He could have easily done the same thing right after a game underneath between the dressing rooms as a team maybe is on its way to the bus. It could have happened with a text because everybody knows everybody's cell. It could have happened over a beer in a bar, which happened all the time.
I do want to clarify, I loved it. Like, I think it's cool that they're, like, cool with each other and still punch each other. But like I get your point from a hockey standpoint. It makes no sense.
If you are, you know, covering another sport, if you're, like, a football writer or a basketball writer or baseball writer, and you see that clip, you're like, Jesus, these hockey guys
Sammy,
are animals.
Sammy,
like, that's what you're thinking.
Just, like, I love your passion. I mean, without it, you're not on our show. that's the best way I can describe you.
And I completely agree.
Okay?
Yeah.
Give me Canada, USA, World Juniors. Uh-huh. Give me Canada, US, Olympics. Okay. Give me a high event where your heart and soul's in it.
Uh-huh.
You watch any exchange like that, either on the benches or in the penalty box between a Canada, US guy giving each other thumbs up.
Oh, my God, I'm sick.
Right. Oh, yeah. What are you chumming it up with him?
Sick. I'm sick to my stomach.
Scram beat it.
I get mad when Vladdy's yucking it up with somebody at first base in July. Yes. So, like, yeah, so I'm sick to my stomach.
Why should we sit there and watch it and say, okay, for game number 41 out of 82?
I think it's
either
more.
Either we're trying to beat them or beat, like, Jake McCabe took Hathaway's head and he cranked it in the ice before he went down Sunday night.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So how do you go from that to, hey, thanks, pal?
Yeah.
I want everybody the same. I'd rather you want to drive a guy's head into the ice than give thumbs up to each other and pat each other on the back for whatever reason you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny because they're two separate things. It's like, that was cool, but I get your point here. And it's funny as I get older because I hear my junior hockey coach talking to me about not taking things seriously enough sometimes, which is a bit of a trend in my hockey career. And now I can see it more how it's like, it doesn't work. It doesn't make sense. Are we doing this or are we not in it?
I think it was way more on Farabee's side than it was
way
on
more,
Dewar's.
Way more. Dewar was like,
Dewar seems like a pretty intense guy, to be honest.
Dewar is maybe the Leafs' most intense.
Yeah, like he.
Yeah, no. This is on Farabee for.
Thankfully, he gave me one.
We're in this era where we have to just like share everything, our inner feelings, our cameras in the dressing rooms, following us to the bathroom.
All right. Just because you don't want to see a therapist doesn't make the whole era a mess.
Just give us a little mystique for God's sakes in this game still.
Is Gen Z the laziest generation?
I love it. Oh, it's good.
So all that gave us something to talk about while not talking about the fact that, that stunk last night. That first period, the Leafs were abominable.
Yeah.
They couldn't connect on a pass. They got two shots. That was
two goals on, what, nine shots or something?
Six shots at one point.
Yeah.
I fully blame Joe Thornton.
Yes. Let's go off on a new tangent.
Well, no, like, it's a pretty big deal for this to get the mentors trip. And, like, even Berube yesterday in the pregame was like, yeah, they went out. I didn't. Like, he mentioned that. That was... we break down all you want to break down and everything you want to talk about and systems and everything. It's like, I might have a couple extra bottle of wine.
That's red wine.
Yeah, that was maybe a red wine first period for the boys there. Is that allowed to say that?
For those of you who don't know, there's so many. It used to just be a dad's trip. Then it turned into a dad-mom's trip. And
God,
then it
the poor moms
into,
had to
like,
watch Connor's Aries on me yesterday.
Like, I'm telling you right now, I'm calling it right now, there will be a pet's trip.
Oh my God, I can't believe they haven't done that. That's such a good idea.
I'm telling you,
you're being sarcastic. That is going to be huge PR.
I know this era.
This is coming. Are you listening, Leafs PR?
I know this era.
Pets trip.
You're
not wrong. It's brought to you by Chewy. Either they already got Max Domi doing Chewy commercials.
Mm-hmm. So last night was a mentor's trip.
Yeah.
And I don't get the Joe Thornton. Austin inviting Joe Thornton as a mentor. I don't get it. Mm. I found it a strange pick.
Would you like to make your case for why? First?
No, you tell me why you...
You want us to hang each other ourselves first?
You tell me why you liked it.
No, I didn't say I liked it. I said I get it.
Okay.
in listening to Matthew's comments about why Joe Thornton was his mentor, it's about the captaincy. And he likes the energy and inclusion that Thornton brought with the team. About everyone's a part of it and bringing the boys together. And it's all about the guys. And Joe Thornton brought that energy, and he liked that. And he wanted to bring himself out of his shell the way Thornton does. That's part of it. The second part of it is you can totally see these guys over like a red wine being like,
couple bottles.
Hey, the next mentor's trip, let's get them to pay for a trip. Bring me out. I want to come out anyway. Let's just have the Leafs pay. I'll come out. Right. I'll get to sit in the room again. It's like these guys hacked the system. This was not the intent of the trip.
No.
This is two guys. They go to Vegas every summer, but these two. He's my mentor.
That's why I found it so strange. That's my case to you.
Yeah.
Is that they talk all
it's
the time.
It's not a real mentor.
It's not a real mentor.
It's a
okay. These
cheap way to bring a pal around.
Are for the dads, the moms, the brother, yeah. the bus buddy. Your pet coming up soon
yeah.
to a team near you. It's for people that have never had the opportunity.
Blue Dog would be a pain.
Never had the opportunity to go. You're talking to a guy that made $100 million and did this for 20 straight years.
Yeah.
Like, Gilmore was there and Wendell was there. If you want Joe there so badly, just invite Joe with Wendell and to hang out with Wendell and Doug. You don't. Yeah. He didn't need him to be a mentor.
He probably doesn't have a mentor. Not everyone has a mentor. And he's like, oh, we get to bring someone? It's like, what you doing, Joe?
Like he's already taught him how to photobomb.
Kippy, would you come on my mentor's trip?
Instagram picture.
Would you come on my mentor's trip, Kippy?
What's left?
He's bowling me over. Come on.
What?
Would you come on my mentor's trip? My mentor?
Oh God!
Can't take a free trip best anywhere.
Who are you kidding? Who are you taking me, Sammy? Fishing?
Zigzags. You know, the Joe Thornton thing is complicated here because came at the end of his career, wasn't particularly great.
Superstar who never won anything. You didn't want that from Matthews.
And there's the famous clip that we've talked about for 4 years on this show, where Sheldon Keefe is having the meeting, and it's on the Amazon or whatever one of those ones they did where it was the least. They're having this meeting about some of the stuff that's been wrong with them and like what's they got to work on and all this stuff. And then Thornton's just like, wow, we're in first place. Right. And I remember being like, oh God.
I shouldn't say Joe Thornton's never won anything because he's won a ton of playoff series.
Yes, he's never won the Stanley Cup. He's a legend. He's a legendary hockey player.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure for like Leaf fan. I'm not the only Leaf fan that feels this way. A perception of a player has changed in less time. Than him, he kind of holds that weird. They blew that series lead to Montreal. He was on the team. A lot of Leaf fans kind of feel that way.
You wanted it to be Mark Messier, someone like a captain who's won again. You know, I will elbow you.
I was like, what's like you know Joe Sakic got through, but he's running a team. Or like, what's like you know, it's just
a great captain who's had you know got over the hump. Is
God love Jumbo Joe, but there's just a complicated relationship. So there, I said it.
So now I will be your mentor.
Thanks, buddy.
Well, it sounds like you've already been his mentor just by some of these opinions.
Oh, rude. All right.
You want to go to a Kipper's Clipper?
We haven't even got to the overview of the game.
We didn't even get one Kipper's Clipper. We're already 24 minutes in. How about the overview of the game from Craig Berube?
It's all good.
No, it's all good?
It's all good. Play the one in the first period because it talks about the power play.
Okay.
So do the one in the first period. Clip two.
I thought we were going early. I thought we were playing the right way and just missing the net. And the power play, I thought, set us back. You know, the two power plays we had were not good. Obviously, it got good, but... which is good for, you know, it's good they recovered. But, you know, I think the power play kind of hurt our momentum in the first period.
Is that why you led to the PP1 change there?
Yeah, just change it up and see if we can get a spark going, and it worked.
We gave midseason report cards last night on our telecast. Mm-hmm. I think all of us were, like, in the C's. Like, if we broke it down into power play penalty killing, you'd be around a B, I guess, for a penalty killing.
Yeah.
But the power play is...
Okay, some good.
If Mitch Marner doesn't have the puck and making plays, I'm not sure if anyone else is capable.
They don't pass.
Well, what...
Thank
you. Only,
they don't pass.
And I've said that for a long time.
But even with Mitch Marner having it, the only thing they create typically is off broken plays where Mitch or someone sees a seam and makes it off a breakdown, right? They're talented and they take advantage of a breakdown. Like... I've said this a million times, but the like list of things that Tampa Bay wanted to do on their power play last year was like, okay, it was a one-timer to Stamkos. B was a one-timer to Kucherov. Three was a one-timer from Hedman. Four was a one-timer into point. Five was a tip in front with Cirelli.
Bump.
You know, into the, you know, like you had this list of like, here is their check down list. It's like, for me, all right, the least power play. What's option one? Okay, Matthews hasn't shot a one-timer into the net this season on the power play, so that's not it. Mitch makes a play.
Kind of lands on Tavares' stick in the sweet spot, and he pokes it in, or Willie hammers one once in a while.
It's probably a Tavares net jam.
Yeah, that's like the go-to play. Yeah. But on the flip side of it, their penalty kill has been so good, right? Like, it's just, I don't know. Maybe it'll just suck all year and they get hot at the start of the playoffs. That'd be nice.
I kind of hope it's just the inverse of every other year.
That'd be good. Yeah. But anyways.
But it has sucked. Like, every spring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's actually been pretty good during regular seasons. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, are you just hoping? It's a hope and a prayer that it reverses this year.
What's the expression? Hope is not a plan?
It's not a plan. I don't like the chances unless something changes. And I think the only thing left is personnel.
But, Kipper, they've done that. They've gone five forwards. They broke it up. They've done all of Rekman Larsson at the top. They've done this guy at the top. They've done, like, they've tried all the, it's, I want to blame the coach. I want to blame everything as much as possible. But at some point, it's just a mix of guys. It's always, like, they've had.
It lacks chemistry.
It does.
Hey, it's tough, though, guys, because, you know, you said, oh, it's been good in the regular season, but it hasn't been good in playoffs. Well, the regular season's a lot of hockey, and they've been top three power play in the league for over a 5-year span. They've been excellent on the power play. And in the playoffs, they had the year they finally won a playoff round. They were really good. They were over 20% that year.
What a concept.
I know. So it's not like they can't do it, is my point. It's not like, these guys, it doesn't work. Because it has worked. I don't know what needs to be different. Do you have a suggestion
the only thing is every time I see them, they're not moving their feet. Mm-hmm. They got their head up.
That's Edmonton.
Stick handling.
McDavid circles a lot. That Marner could be that for them.
Lack of movement. Yeah. You know, it just seems.
97 helps.
Part of it, though, I think, is that their
guys
are. And
he's a good passer.
McDavid?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But this is really the thing good. Is that their guys are pretty one-dimensional. Mitch Marner went over 100 games without a power play goal. He is a passer. And Matthews is not a passer. He is a shooter. So it's not like every guy is like Kucherov who can shoot it or pass.
I don't think they have enough passers.
They have one passer.
Like, well, I mean, what's Riley? He's not a shooter.
I mean, he's not.
I don't see great seam passes from him either.
Yeah. I think that's the reason a lot of people have wanted him off the top unit is because his function up there. I mean, he's good at keeping the puck in at the line, actually. That's one of his skills he's really good at. But outside of that, he's not.
He's okay at everything.
Yeah.
He's okay at everything. He's pretty good at everything. Yeah. But he's not great at everything.
I think it's a game-winning goal. I mean, it wasn't a power play goal on Nyes, but he can get on occasion.
He can get
a puck to the net for a redirect.
Yep,
but that's not movement. That's just pucks to the net.
Yeah,
that was a great face-off win. Goes back there, and you know the Granite Man Nyes goes to the net.
Tavares' strength, as we've always said, is around that area, and he can shoot it in the net. But he's not a passer. He's not a great disher.
To me, it's not the one thing, because you could put Max Domi out there. He's a passer, but he's like Marner. It's like he's not going to. They're one dimensional. It's like there's not this other element that, you know, everyone kind of knows what those guys are going to do on a 2-on-1 or on any sort of rush. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but that's on them to figure out, because the talent is there, and it might have to be a unit that's more orchestrated with more options. Bobby McMahon may need to be a part of it because he can pass or shoot. You know, I don't know.
You want to get to a...
I was just going
to
say, top line looks amazing. Nyes, Matthews, and Martin.
Yeah, they're going.
Has looked really good last night.
I thought they were pretty good last night.
Yeah,
I did too. That's the difference in the game. They have the best players on the rink, and they make a few plays.
Couple shifts in the third period where those three guys were just hounds on the puck in the offensive zone, cycling
it. Noticed last night that they had that great offensive zone shift with 8 minutes left. Yeah. Then they put Tavares out, and they went right back to him, and that's
what that was a good move by Berube to get his top line in an offensive zone face-off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's your game-winning goal.
Yep.
You want a quick clip on Nyes?
Yeah, let's play it.
All right.
Clip three, please.
Very fearless. Goes hard to the net, skates hard. You know, he's hard to handle. You know, that's the way I look at it. Like, he challenges D-men with his speed and his skill. And he's heavy. You know, he gets in there and it's hard to handle.
I think that's a perfect way to put it.
Yeah.
Guys go to, he goes to the front of the net and he's got a great stick and guys can't move him.
Yeah, he's really, strong as you want. That guy's there and you're like, ugh.
Like, I don't think he's a really good transition player, but like once he gets in the offensive zone, he's really, really effective.
Yeah, he's had
good puck touches.
He had a reset about a week ago where I just think he's starting to figure it out after, I don't know, 110 games, 115 games that, you know, sometimes you could be too early. You could be too early on a forecheck. You could be too early to get to the net. Mm-hmm. You know, once you kind of relax a little bit and feel it and have your timing down a little bit more, less college, more NHL, pro.
So many games.
He can go to another level.
Yeah.
So it's very positive right now where his game is at.
Joseph Woll, another good one.
Another reason they win, right? If it's Matt Murray or who, not that I shouldn't pick on Murray. If it's not Woll, I don't know if they win last night.
How many times have you said that? How many times have we said that?
So many. He just looks really solid. He gives one up and he's right back. He doesn't look like he's shaken by it.
In his last five starts, he's 5-0-0, 10 goals against, a 934 save percentage.
Like those battles in the crease, like he holds his ground and
17-7-2 when being outshot this season.
17 wins leads the NHL.
Yeah. That's a heck of a stat.
Yeah. They have a really good record in one goal games too. These things are all goaltending connected.
It's also almost comical how anti Keefe it is.
The way they play.
Like the way they're winning.
Yeah.
Like it's the reverse.
Get outplayed, get outshot. Goalie plays great. Get a couple cheeky
every
ones.
Every night is a reverse of what I watched for five seasons with the Leafs.
Yeah.
Where it's like they'd outplay, outshoot, like, you know, fire the puck on net 100 times, and then the other team would come down and shoot two in the net, opportunistic, and then it would be over.
Yeah, last night the expected goals were 1.78 for Toronto, 3.82 for Philly.
Wow. So there you go.
Steal 2 points on the road.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't look and critique a win too hard, and they're getting their points, right?
But
well,
6 points cleared of Florida now in the Atlantic for first place.
The but is that you play 82 games, and there's really only a dozen games that you can go marquee. Okay, let's see what you got. Games. Mm-hmm. It's not against the Islanders. It's not against Philly. Not against necessarily Detroit or Buffalo.
Carolina Thursday?
Maybe. I don't know where I have Carolina. I really thought that they were a top team.
New Jersey.
Carolina, I really thought they were a top team. Mm-hmm. But to me, they're now legitimately below a Washington Capitals or a
Tampa New got Jersey. Them last night.
Even New Jersey. Yeah. I have New Jersey ahead of Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So they lost last night, Carolina?
Yeah, last minute point scored.
To Tampa Bay?
Yep.
But they should be a better challenge.
Mm-hmm.
We should. Listen, if the Leafs play like they did against Philadelphia, they lose tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
Tough schedule coming up for the Leafs, as Sam was alluding to. It's Carolina, Vancouver, Dallas, New Jersey.
But
then Montreal.
You know, we've got a handful of what we think are deep or good teams,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
That's 32 in the league. Yeah. We're only talking about six. Vegas is going. I'd like to see the Leafs play Vegas tomorrow night.
Fortunately, you're not going to get to see that
for
a long time.
I know.
But
Vegas,
March,
maybe the most complete team right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's hard to complain about victories.
Just take your points.
As you know, it's January. Yeah, this the dog days.
You deserve
days.
To win, you lose. You know, take your points when you don't deserve.
Yeah, there's been a couple here. I'm like, they could maybe pick it up a touch.
Yeah.
like they don't need to get Woll to bail note.
The one thing, so I know we got to get to break, but I do have a theory on this, which is basically the way Craig Berube is asking them to play that hard nose hit, forecheck, block shots. You can't do it 82 times plus 2 months of playoffs. You just, your body, we're not able to do that.
Mm.
So it doesn't look great when you're playing a physical intense style, kind of turned down a little bit after some red wine at a steakhouse. But I do think that when they turn it up, Saturday night against Boston on Hockey Night in Canada, it's like, ooh, that looks good.
Yeah.
You know, there's something there.
The one thing that
Boston sucks, though.
I wouldn't want the Leafs to get too used to his playing without Jake McCabe.
Yeah, that's a big hole.
Big hole.
And it's really concerning because, the second bonk to the head that he's had in less than a month, and it's just like, then it becomes easier to get him, and it's scary, but yeah.
The word I think we had heard was that maybe better than they had thought initially. We'll see, but...
I threw out a mailbag thing for Wednesdays.
We had a mailbag!
So we're going to do this every Wednesday, I think, where we just get, for the back half of the Leafs hour, after whatever we talk about in the start, we're going to get a bunch of people texting in and telling us what they want us to say.
Benoit took one in the mailbag the other night.
And I got a million questions that we don't have. We've spent way too long yelling about Reeves and Dewar and all that.
We're addicted to screen time.
Yeah, but we got a lot, so let's go.
All right.
Okay, Sammy, we got your mailbag when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Dive deep into Toronto sports and the NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. It's the Leaf Hour Edition. What do you got for us?
I was going to call it the Maple Leafs Midweek Mailbag.
That's a mouthful.
Because it's the alliteration, MMM.
Right, that's why I did that sound.
Very good.
So good.
So I put it out on TikTok, too. I'm really trying to grow the hashtag.
Sam,
brand on
I like that. Good.
And you got a good response.
Yeah, I got lots of stuff.
Sammy
on
used TikTok.
He could use a TikTok, by the way.
Zigzags team. That was just too many.
I put out a TikTok asking for beer league players, and I have now enough to field a regular team and an AHL team. So we're good to go. All right. This is from Skippy on TikTok. How much is the Nyes contract going to cost after the Hattie?
Skippy. Love it, Skippy. Well, it didn't get cheaper.
They should have signed him when he was playing like crap.
Yeah. 17-game pointless drought. Here's your money.
Yesterday's price is not today's price.
Here's the problem: is when you go through Skids still at his age, you're like, you start questioning how good is he going to be really?
Yeah,
right.
Yes,
and that's
I had those thoughts.
That's the trick. That's the dilemma here. And Leafs aren't. I mean, they're. I know there's general managers and presidents with a ton of experience, but it's like a crystal ball to them too, looking into it, trying to figure it out. How good are you? What is a good price? $7 million? $5 million?
I think, part of the concern is you look at like a contract like Matty Beniers gets and you're like, maybe they were too soon on that, or I know you don't love Owen Power at times, but maybe Samuelson on that team, some of these long-term deals you give guys, and then you're like, oh, they're not who we thought they were going to be. So there's that concern. I am a Nyes believer. I'm a Nyes believer, and I think you could do long-term. I would do it as soon as you can.
Bridge or
it's
long-term?
It's always...
6 years?
It's always about your comparables and where you think you are up against others in the league. So... how far you want to take the control off of it to bridge it, as you'd say, or do you hedge it and try to give him an 8-year deal that he can't refuse that you think in 4 years will be a bargain?
Well, and that massive salary cap rise, like if you're Nyes, you might want to do 2 years at $5 million or something and say, yeah, let that number go up and let me put up some numbers and then we'll talk. But yeah, for the Leafs, would you do like 6 times $7 million? It's a lot of money, right?
Oof.
But you're asking for 6 years from a guy who might score $30 a year.
No, you're not doing 6. You're doing 8. You got a lot.
All the way to 8 at that point?
If you're going 6, you're going 8.
Okay.
So.
8 times 7, 56.
Is Nyes or his agent going to come back and say, we want the Slafkovský deal?
What's that one?
Would you trade
Nyes? No.
For Slafkovský?
I absolutely would not.
So
wow.
So why are you not paying
really?
Me? Why are you not paying me as him?
How many Slafkovský had this year? 2, 3 goals?
Slaf is under contract till 2030 at 7.6.
So why wouldn't you pay me that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great point by you, Mr. Kipper's agent. That's a great point. By Nyes' agent. That's a great point by you.
The Slafkovský thing's tough. He had 20 last year for 50 points.
How many have this year?
He only has four this year.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, which guy do you think he is? Do you think he's going to be an 8-goal scorer or more than that?
Like, he's, I mean, maybe a solid 15-goal scorer.
He should be able to score 50, 60 points every year and be a power guy.
I would say at a minimum. I would hope.
How old is he now? I'm talking about Slafkovský, right?
I am too.
Okay.
6'3", 230.
So on a career year, can he hit?
He's 20.
At a career year, could he shoot it in the net 30 times?
Yes.
35 times?
Absolutely.
On a bad year, 25?
So that's Nyes-like.
That's very Nyes-like.
But, you know, do we not think that Slafkovský's ceiling's higher? Anyway, we're quibbling over a stupid thing. Are they in the same ballpark? They are.
Yeah.
Ballpark. Okay.
Maybe a little less than that.
$500,000.
Yeah.
250,000.
7.1 times 8. Done.
So now that we're on the Nyes conversation, I got this tweet today in my McKee's mailbag, which Jacob told me to call it McKee's mailbag.
That's way better.
For sure. Yeah. So he's pretty good at this.
Kipper's McKee's mailbag. So, I need something.
Rachel Greentree tweeted me and said, can we please address how Kipper might actually be Matthew Nyes' dad? The resemblance is so uncanny. I'm half expecting Kipper to show up at the next game yelling, that's my boy, while holding a paternity test. Anyway, big fan of the show. So I got the crack staff at Sportsnet. If we can pull that in. Look at that.
Oh, my good gracious. Wow. The same person.
By the way, Kipper, you're a hunk, bud. Like, holy weapon of mass destruction. But you guys look exactly the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's starting to scare me a little bit.
That is uncanny. Anyways.
Yeah.
I had to bring it up. Look at that. That jersey's beautiful, by the way, that Whalers.
I trade my past for his future, I think. I think on an even up trade. Just
that's
give me
a very funny line.
Give me June 14th, 1994. I gotta hold that one.
Though. Yeah.
Next one here is from Grins Above on Twitter. All right, boys, please settle a Twitter debate for me. Is David Kampf a Stanley Cup caliber fourth line center? I say yes.
Absolutely.
I think you can win with him as a fourth line guy.
I mean, who's your...
And it's not cheap. But no. Just make clear of that. It's not cheap, but... Is he irreplaceable? I think there's somebody out there that you could probably find cheaper, but it's too hard by now.
I'd like to go through the Stanley Cup rosters of the recent champions, who their fourth line center was over the years. It's usually... You know, it's not no one special, but it's not a huge name. This is a tight salary cap era.
I wish you'd be a little more physical, though, a little bit more.
Yeah.
That's all. That's one thing missing for me a little bit from him. But
the thing that always jumps out to me.
He'd be a $5 million player or a $3 million
player. Good point.
Whatever. The thing that always jumps out to me is when Gudas on the Panthers just eviscerated him and then he was never the same.
Yes.
Remember
that's
that?
One of the harder
hits. He's just never recovered from that.
That was mean.
That was mean. Michael Burren on Twitter. Can we finally start the Berube for Jack Adams narrative now?
Sure.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Come on. How is he? He will not be in the conversation. Like, take a look, boys. They're knocking on the door of a President's Trophy. They're right up there. What are they, 4 points behind Vegas? Six?
Yeah, they're in the conversation.
Right?
They're 3 points behind Vegas.
3 points behind Vegas.
Yeah.
It'll be hard to kind of wrestle it away from
Carberry.
Carberry in Washington. Again, it
Scott Arneil.
What plays into it is that still Winnipeg and still the Toronto Maple Leafs had a certain expectation.
Yeah, it's fair.
We had nothing out of Washington this year. Zippo.
By that metric though. The Columbus Blue Jackets making playoffs would be like for Dean Evason, like, holy smokes. I thought they might finish near the bottom.
Yeah, and that's a real strong case for him, too.
Because John Hines and Minnie, they're third and the fourth in the league.
Yep.
And I don't think the expectations were there for them.
Yeah,
but I think
those are legit names right now.
At the end of the year, if you're doing the, because they always do the three finalists, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be totally fine for Craig Berube to be one of the finalists.
Yeah, and let's see how the second half goes. It's very possible for them to get hot, boost his case a little bit. I do think that Washington's going to come back a little bit, just a little bit.
This is from Elliot Coates, and this is McKee's mailbag. So this is from Elliot Coates on Twitter. Can we just get some more Sammy talk on how the Bruins suck and they're totally washed? Nothing feeds my soul so thoroughly.
I feel like I've been beating that drum pretty good.
God, I don't know. You guys were doing the Leafs game last night. I was flicking back and forth.
Yeah.
The Oilers worked them last night. Like, that was as comprehensive a beatdown as I've seen in a long time. I don't think they're going to make it.
I don't either.
I think there's too many good teams in the East. Like, teams that are not good, but, like, better than that, that can just kind of jump over them.
There are four teams in the NHL with a worse goal differential. Four teams total. They're the fifth worst goal differential team at minus 24. Typically, when you get to playoffs, end of season, you sort the standings. The teams that are green are in. Teams that are red are out. They're very out.
The guy that's going to take a lot of heat this year is going to be Jeremy Swayman, too.
Yeah, fortunately for him.
And it's a package deal because I think it was the whole thing was botched from day one.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you cannot hold them out, and then finally say, okay, we'll give you 8.25. That was the number all along he wanted.
It's crazy how important training camp is for these guys. Like, I just can't remember a time where someone parachutes in, you know, and is awesome. Like, they seem to
Sammy said Willie was really good when he sat out till December.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Awful.
Oh, was he awful.
Oh, but that was so bad.
Yeah.
That was so bad.
It's bad.
It had me thinking 6.9 for Willie was way too much. Yeah. Was that what he signed for, 6.9?
6.9.
Yeah.
But to your point, it's like, with the risk of missing camp, if they wanted to pay him 7.5, they're like, maybe we just give him the number he wants so he doesn't suck and he can be a part of this. Like, I guess that's the mismanagement part, eh?
Don Sweeney definitely takes some.
He'll wear that one.
Yeah.
You know what? If they do miss the playoffs, I think it's going to cost somebody something.
Oh, yeah.
And we haven't done a trade one in the mailbag. There's been about 100 of them. So this is from Marshall Auerbach. Who is the most realistic acquisition target for the Leafs as the third line center?
You like Scott Laughton, eh?
I do like Scott Laughton, except, God, that collision between him and Michkov last night was violent. And oftentimes the ones where you run into your own guy are the most fun. You don't see it coming. Like,
that was the Large Hadron Collider just going the opposite directions. And
Michkov's face immediately busting up a little bit.
But he kissed his helmet on the bench, and that was kind of adorable.
Yeah, they're back.
Yeah,
they're fine.
Yeah, I
like Laughton.
I need a bigger upgrade.
Okay.
I do.
Brock Nelson?
Yeah, Brock Nelson.
That's your guy?
Yeah. That's my guy.
Barney?
Or you can go out and, you know, try to get Kadri.
Yeah, it's tough, Sam, because there's not anyone like, yeah, you want a really good player here. Yeah. I think they need
a really good player.
Like, Nelson has not been awesome here.
No.
So I worry a little bit about
that. But he's big.
Oh, yeah.
He's big, and he's a legit top six guy.
Yeah.
This one, we don't have much time, so maybe we'll do this one in the National Hour because it's more of a
we
National Hour.
We don't have no time.
It's from Trevor Powell on Twitter. And can we get a mid-season Champions League update? Who's in your guys' champion league? I have 13 teams in mind, 12, top 12 Ooh. In the standings, and Tampa. Everyone else is mid or really stinks. So we've got 2 minutes, but, you know, it'd be an interesting conversation to maybe stretch out more. But there really is a huge line between people who could actually win and people who actually can't. Like, I guess that's the case in most leagues, but it really feels pronounced in this year's.
I just feel like everything is a bit compressed this year compared to most years. Like, I don't feel like there's... You know, the Bruins had 135 points a few years ago. And you had teams like San Jose who finished here with like 40 points or, you know, whatever. It feels like everyone's kind of okay. I have an article coming later today on the Eastern Conference playoff picture where literally nobody's done. I mean, the Buffalo Sabres are pretty done.
Yeah.
But they're El Dante. They're not cooked.
I guess I look at these teams and I guess like the parity that you're talking about, but I could even get it down to 5 or 6 of teams I actually think are going to win.
Vegas, Winnipeg, Toronto,
Florida,
Edmonton,
Florida.
Like,
I know Florida's not good right
That's
now.
Good and, list.
You know, let's pick it up in the National Hour. Okay,
I'll reread that one in the National Hour. We'll do it some more after the break in the National Hour.
All right, sounds good. We're just getting started.
The Keys mailbag.
Love it.
Good stuff.
Love it. All right, Rene Lavoie is going to join us on our national program. After we take a short break, we'll get into the NHL, the Montreal Canadiens, and Lane Hudson. Is he the new leader in Rookie of the Year? We'll discuss, we'll explain when we return. Nationals next on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show.